Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ورفعنا لك ذكرك صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Alhamdulillah, it is the blessed month of Rabiul Awwal, and just to continue from our Jumu'ah session, Alhamdulillah, our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was born in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the 9th of Rabiul Awwal. And in Jumu'ah, what was explained is that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is Hakim. One of the names of Allah is that He is Hakim, and Hakim means the All Wise. And every decision of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and whatever He decides, and the fate that every man comes with, that is in the knowledge of Allah, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows what is best for everyone in His creation. And so He is Hakim. The month that was chosen for the coming of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Rabiul Awwal, the year 577th century Allah's Nabi was born in. And we explained the wisdom as to why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyyin. This was explained in Jumu'ah. And so Alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate that from the galaxy of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, more than 100,000 messengers that have come, we have this honor. And we are privileged to say that we are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the relationship that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has with all of humanity and all the messengers, that has also been described in the Quran. Every Nabi that came in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not order a Nabi to declare the name of any of the messengers. But however, in the case of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Nabi that came, that Nabi made a clear declaration and announcement to the community so that they would understand the status of the last Nabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see this also with Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam is the first human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The first body, human body that was created, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. From Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Hawa was created. And when he came down to this dunya, to this world, he would do lots of tawbah. And Khasaisul Kubra Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the wasila and the name by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sometimes you will find that we also use the names of individuals when we know them. And you might say that by, a wife might say that, how can you do this to me when I am your wife? How can you do this to me when I am your wife? So sometimes human beings, what we do is that we use that relationship that we have. And how is it that you are not serving me when I am in your nikah and I am your wife? Just to make that person realize that, oh, this woman is not an ordinary woman. She came into my nikah. And sometimes you will find that we also take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I am giving you the wasta of Allah. I am giving you the wasta of Allah. And sometimes it is expected that, you know what, because he is my father, I know what my father will do for me. So people have this, that they use the relationship and the titles that we have. And so Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was also very intelligent. When he made dua, he said, Bari ta'ala, forgive me by the wasila of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam alayhi salam, Kaifa arafta, how have you recognized Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You are the only one that has been created. So he said, Rafa'atu ra'si, when I lifted my head up towards your arsh, Ra'aytu maktuban ala qawa'im al-arsh, I saw that on your arsh it was written, Muhammad Rasulullah. That there was the name of Muhammad which was written, and it was written in a way, Muhammad Rasulullah. That Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah, the Messenger of Allah. So he said, when I saw the name Muhammad, I realized that this man must be someone who is very special, and someone who is very, very beloved to you, Ya Allah. So that is why I have taken his name. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, sadaqta, yes, Adam, what you have said is the truth. And so every Nabi that came, they had to introduce Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the people also, to talk about him. And that is why ulama have mentioned that if you want your dua to be accepted, then read Durood Sharif also. Before you make dua, read Durood Sharif. See, Durood Sharif opens the door and attracts the rahmat, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so by reading Durood before your dua and the end of dua, this is great security that your dua will be accepted. Just like when we make dua, we take the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So whenever we make dua also, we should get into the habit of reading Durood Sharif. And so the tartib is, first you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any of the kalimat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, any tasbih that you know. And then you read Durood Sharif. And some scholars have mentioned, after Durood Sharif, do also Astaghfar, then make your dua, and then read Durood Sharif at the end also. And so this is the tarteeb and pattern that inshaAllah your dua will be accepted. So khair, here we see Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, the first man, and he mentions the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Nabi who was recognized by every Nabi that came. Every Nabi that came, and in fact even their communities, the followers of that Nabi, were informed about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we go further into the line of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, we see a great Nabi, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam makes a clear mention about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was also on a very special occasion when he was laying down the foundation of Kaaba. When he was laying down the foundation of Kaaba. Now when he was laying down the foundation of Kaaba, who was there to assist him? Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So how is Ismail alayhi salam related to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam? Father and son. Scholars have mentioned that the reason why Ibrahim alayhi salam intentionally wanted Ismail alayhi salam to be there with him when it came to the construction of the Kaaba is part of tarbiyah, to nurture the child in the right direction. To make sure that the children that are growing up, they grow up with the love of Allah and His Rasul. To be connected to the masjid, that is the house of Allah, Baytullah Sharif. And so from a young age, he is with his father. And for children to understand that they always must be obedient to the father. And the father must guide the children, and the children must always listen to the mashwira and the guidance and the advice that is given by the father. Something that is very, very important. And I said this in Jumu'ah, unfortunately now, we are living in the times of, but fitna, exactly what fitna? Why? Who said why? Javed why, mashallah. This fitna of why? What is it? Why? Everything, why? Why? Islam does not like this question of why. And in the hadith it also comes that one should not say love, not the love, L-O-V-E, but this is the Arabic love, lam waw. Which means, oh, if I did this, I would have achieved this. If I had done this, if I did this, if I did that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say, if I did this. Don't say that. You are not to say, if. What has happened, and say, ma qaddar Allah, whatever Allah wanted has happened. Whatever Allah wanted has happened. Why? The word love in the Arabic language, if, will open the door of shaitan. That will open the door of shaitan. And this why also is not something that isko kaho bhai khamosh rahe please. You know, my respected brothers, alhamdulillah, if there are people who are needy, there is a way that they can be supported. But alhamdulillah, if we are not going to look after the masjid, and if there is no control in the masjid, then every Tom, Dick and Harry will come and stand here and make an announcement every namaz. It doesn't work that way, right? The house of Allah is not for this. That you just stand up, that I'm from Afghanistan, I'm from Philistine, I'm from Chechnya, I'm from this part of the world, that part of the world, and I'm in need. It doesn't work that way. There is a way. First of all, you have to take permission from the masjid management. And nobody just stands up and does this. And so people are not at liberty that they can just do whatever they want in the house of Allah. There are rules and regulations. And then just to go downstairs, everything has to be verified. Kya hai bhai? Everything has to be verified. You don't even know who that person is. Sometimes you don't even know if a person is a Muslim or not. So many people I have seen on, sometimes ladies come to you with scarves on and they say, for the name of Allah, give. So one day I thought, I says, you're a Muslim? Yes. I said, okay. Read Surah Fatiha. Read Alhamdulillah. And she didn't know what is Alhamdulillah. So it is kind of deceiving. What is it? It is kind of deceiving. Not in the case of anybody. I'm just saying generally. So that is why, Alhamdulillah, as Muslim community, we should be very, very careful. There is a procedure. But if you are outside of the masjid premises, then you can do whatever you want. Outside, there is no one to stop you. That side of the masjid, not in the car park, that side. That is public. So in the public area, whoever you want to ask, somebody can give you £1,000,000 in a bag, nothing to do with us. Tumne diya, your sadqah, your whatever you want to give. But in the house of Allah, it should be that you have to be very, very careful. Itni baat samajh aayi nahi? So that is why I had to tell him, and nicely, politely I had to tell him, that bhai, you know, what you did there was wrong. As an imam, I have a duty. As an imam, I have a duty. Can't just allow anybody just to do whatever they want to do. There is a way, there is a procedure. So mashallah, if anybody who is in need, alhamdulillah, we have got so many charity organizations also. If you are from Palestine, then go to a lot of the charity organizations, tell them your need, and inshallah people can give you your sadaqah. But otherwise you have to be very, very careful in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sorry for that. I think that the noise that you heard downstairs maybe it's related to that, possibly. Wallahu alam. But we were talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where were we? Why? And so there are certain words in Islam, like ana also. At times if you use ana, I, it's okay. But I is also disliked. I, you know, I am this, I do this, I'm not scared of anybody, I am this. Like what Fir'aun said, ana rabbukumul ala, I am the Lord, the Most High. And so this why also is disliked. Why is why disliked? Because when you say why, it means that you are not trusting that person. So when you say why, you are not actually putting your trust in that person, because that is why you are questioning him. But otherwise, if you would trust somebody, there is no such thing as why. But if you don't trust someone, then you might say why. But in Sharia, subhanallah, we cannot say why. When it comes to what Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, have mentioned, and it is part of the laws of Sharia, then there is no why. We have to accept. Unless, of course, genuinely a person does not understand the mas'ala, and he is a talib ilm and he is a true seeker and he wants to know the reason, then that is different. But just casually for a person to always say why, this is not the right way of going about. So that is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam and Ismail alayhi salatu was salam, father and son relationship, that the tarbiyah is done by the father from a young age, that the children are also very much connected to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when he completed the building, At that time, he took the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasula. O Allah, send to the people here, Makkah Mukarrama, where his own son was living, Ismail alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not talking about his children. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam knew that he is the Nabi, the children will also be the messengers. Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam was there. Hazrat Ishaq was also there. Two children that he had. But what did he say? Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasula. O Allah, send the Rasul. And who is that Rasul? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why is it only Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because if you follow the entire ayat, what he is saying, yatlu alayhim ayatika, that he will do the tilawat of your ayats that have been revealed. What will he do? He will do the tilawat, the recitation that have been revealed. The only book that can be recited and that has been revealed as revelation is the Quran. Tilawat can only be done with the Quran. There is no other kitab that you can say, I'm doing tilawat of it. With that rhythm, mashallah, how you are reciting all the words that rhyme in a very synchronized manner. You are joining the words and reciting it. That is only the beauty of the Quran. And then he said, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And then this Nabi will explain to them the meaning of the Quran, and he will practically show them what is the meaning of every ayat of the Quran. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And then he will purify them. He will also purify them. So this purification, this is a very important subject, especially nowadays, in this modern world that we are living in. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. So here, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam makes mention of this great Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam also makes mention of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only is Musa alayhi salam mentioning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the book that was revealed to him, Taurat, in there even the companions have been mentioned. Mathaluhum fit Taurati. So in the Torah, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in were also mentioned. That is why historically we know that the Ahle Yahud, the Jewish community, had migrated to Madinah Munawwara. What was the purpose of going to Madinah Munawwara otherwise? Why? Because they had the full description of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The full description. Subhanallah. Ajib. And then clearly also Isa alayhi salam has mentioned about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am giving you details of such lofty messengers and prophets that when they took the name of this great Nabi, then we should understand that how fortunate we are that without asking Allah Pak, Allah gave us Iman and Allah gave us a connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the month of Rabiul Awwal, we need to appreciate this ni'mah. That we are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Isa alayhi salatu wa salam clearly mentioned his name. And he says, وَمُبَشِّرَ بِرَسُول يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِي إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَد. That after me a Nabi is going to come. His name is Muhammad. His name is Ahmad. Both names are the same. Ahmad or Muhammad. They refer to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَد. Here in Surah Saf, it's Ahmad. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah makes mention of Muhammad. And so Muhammad and Ahmad both are the names of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Isa alayhi salatu wa salam also took the name of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we need to understand his status. We need to understand the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, my respected brothers and elders, what I wanted to cover in our session in the evening is, I have written down a few points that sometimes when we say follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's not so straightforward for us to understand the sunnah. So what is the meaning of sunnah? So what I have done is that I've explained sunnah at 7 levels. How many levels? 7 levels. If we have time, we'll cover as much as we can, so that at least we can create this relationship with our Nabi. Life is very, very short. And the best thing that you can do is to follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the maqsad and the purpose of your life. If you want to be successful, then follow this personality, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you will not go wrong in any direction. Number one, when we say follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what it means that outwardly, what is it? Outwardly, visibility of sunnah is there. That is the first level. What is it? The visibility of sunnah outwardly is there. You know, sadly today, sometimes when you see someone on the street, you don't know whether to make salam to him, or you don't know, you know, if that person is a Muslim or not. Sometimes you really don't know, unfortunately. Why? There are no visible signs, no apparent signs. So alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we have to be very different from the non-Muslim community with respect to everybody of every race, every religion, every community. But as Muslims, we have to be different. And this difference is not in your choice, that how I want to be different. No, 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 no. That visibility of sunnah must be there. A Muslim lady, mashallah. So if she is wearing a scarf and she is wearing clothes that are not revealing her beauty and her body, and there is a good covering, mashallah, then straight away you will know that this lady is a Muslim. Straight away. Mashallah. So you go to the town center and you will see that alhamdulillah, the ladies that cover themselves the most are Muslims. The more iman you have, the more covering you have. And when you are borderline kufr, what are you? Borderline kufr. Then you even want to be very, very naked outside. You want to be, because there's no iman there. When you see a Muslim man, mashallah, there should be noor on his face. Mashallah, he should have lihya. And this is the first visible sign, your beard. Mashallah, even if it's grey, it's okay. Even if it is grey, it's okay, no problem. I have to dress up very smart, because Umar Farooq looks at my socks and then he looks at my pagri. So I have to be very careful. I have to be very, very careful. So they say the Imam and Mujahid, both of them have to look young. What do they say? The Imam and the Mujahid have to look young. So we have to look young. But anyway, who is young and who is old, Allah knows by. But anyway, you should have a beard. And beard, mashallah, it comes in the hadith that Allah's Nabi, when he would read namaz, And that namaz is not jahri, not loud, sirri, silent, asar namaz. Sahaba say that there was harkat of the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he was reading the Quran, the beard would also, there was a movement. What was it? Now, this movement will only come when you have at least one. So that is why the ulama say that, mashallah, that your visibility that this man is a Muslim. Mashallah, you wear a topi, come to the house of Allah and you want to wear a kurta, there is nothing wrong with that at all. You know, dress up very, very smart and mashallah, that is it. So visibility is not just by your clothes. Visibility also means your speech. So the words that the lingo, the language that you use, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, my brother? Alhamdulillah. Barakallah. Jazakallah. How are you? Alhamdulillah. You know, the language, that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is flowing, inshaAllah, all the time. So you know that this person, outwardly, there is a display of the sunnah. What is it? There is a display of sunnah. This is something very, very important. So outwardly also, there must be sunnah visible in you. But remember, as Muslims, someone who does not dress up or outwardly, he has got no sunnah, we have no right to belittle him or to disrespect him or to judge him. What is it? This is our problem. Sometimes when we see someone, that bichara, he's come to the house of Allah and maybe, you know, he has not dressed up in that attire, we think that, yaar, ye kaun hoga, kya hoga, who is he? No, never know. Why? Because you don't know the level of iman in the heart. You don't know the level of iman in the heart. You don't know that. So our duty is not to judge. Our duty is visibility. What is there? Visibility. Why outwardly visibility of the sunnah must be there? Why, my respected brothers? Because Allah has created insan in such a way that he is very quickly attracted to the things that are around him. He is quickly attracted to the things around him. If he is not going to get attracted to the sunnah, then what will he get attracted to? Ji? Dunya. Fashion. Nangapan. Short cuts here, and signature here. What is he going to do? All of these things, you see, my respected brothers. So alhamdulillah, we need to be attracted to the sunnah. And one sunnah is also that you should not wear your trousers below your ankles. You should not wear your trousers below your... Although there is a, you know, ikhtilaf and some ulama say whatever they say. But subhanallah, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba-i kiram ajma'een, when you look at their style of dressing, is that the izar was on the top. Now you will find certain people who find themselves to be very difficult in identifying their gender. They wear tight jeans and short. What is it? And they walk. How do they walk? Their trousers are above their ankles. You'll say, Maulisa, what are you looking at? I have to observe, I'm the imam. What is it? I have to observe, I'm the imam. I'm sure you people observe too. So, you see Zakir Naik. Have you seen Zakir Naik? MashaAllah. He comes in his suit, doesn't he? But have you noticed his trousers? MashaAllah. Above. So, there's nothing wrong. What makes, it's only your mind that is telling you, you know what, I'm not looking so good with my trousers high. No. There's no such thing as that. Allah's Nabi did something, bas khalas. So outwardly, that visibility of sunnah is there. Number one. Number two, the second, is that your character should be personalized to the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your character should be personalized with the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it mean? Level 2. So when you say follow the Sunnah, one is this. So as much as you can outwardly, as much as you can. And also we are not people who are extremist. What are they? We are not people who are extremist. So now, mashallah, you are on a holiday and you need to climb the mountain and then you say, no, Mauli Sahab told us to wear the Sunnah libas and I'm going to wear my jabba. Arey bhai, don't be so strict also. Eh? As long as your satar is covered, what is it? So, yeah, you want to play football in your long jabba. Right, Mauli Sahab said it. You know, sometimes Maulvis are also very extremist in sometimes their views. So you have to do things also with your aqal. Your aqal. So sometimes there are certain things that you have to, mashallah, if you go to jihad, you have also the clothes of jihad in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People who were riding a horse, riding on a camel, you have to wear the right clothes. So sometimes there is this thing that you might not want to wear your clothes if you are out somewhere, you're on the countryside walking somewhere or something, whatever, and you feel comfortable, ke bhai, mera three quarters ka shorts hai or, and I'm wearing some loose clothes. So this is easy for me. So there is nothing wrong with it. It's not haram. What is it? Islam has not given you any kind of a uniform. What is it? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wear clothes from Syria, from different parts of the country. You see in the Shamail it is mentioned. But generally I am speaking, generally in our daily life, as much as you can, the visibility of Sunnah must be there, all the time, as much as you can. Then personalize the character, your character with the Sunnah. What does that mean? The Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he would speak the truth. He would not lie. He would not do ghibat. He would not hurt someone. He would show respect to people. He was out there to help. Allah's Nabi has never said no to anyone. And so that character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be visible also in you. That he would also assist the neighbors. And so this is also considered to be a great sunnah. The problem today is that we only take the beard and khushbu and ittar and miswak as sunnah, and we don't realize that abstaining from guna and sins is also a sunnah. So this is also a very, very important sunnah, my respected brothers and elders. Itni baat samme aaya nahi? So number one is outwardly visibility. And number two is the character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be in us. How did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak? How was his character? How would he make salam? How would he smile? All of these things. How was he a father? How was he a husband? How was he a businessman? How was he as an imam? How was he as a leader? How was he and his teaching? So all of these akhlaq, we should try to understand and bring it inside us. Number three, sunnah, is that azam must be there. What is it? We should be people of ulul azam. We should be people of ulul azam. Now ulul azam, what does ulul azam mean? Azam should be in the heart of every Muslim. This is very, very important. So my respected brothers, inshallah, just to explain this to you, azam means one of the most important sunnah that we need to keep inside us, which is really going to help us throughout the life, is that complete reliance upon Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand this, that you are not to doubt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something very, very important. You can doubt the whole world, but you can't doubt Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If any man has this character inside him, then he is upholding one of the most important sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is sunnah by his teachings. What is it? Sunnah by his teachings. That you cannot doubt any words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you look at the Quran is repairing your mindset, the modern mindset, in the first four lines of Suratul Baqarah. Subhanallah, bolo bhai. And don't get tired because this is an important topic, please, inshallah, just follow. And how the Quran is repairing your mindset, how it is cleansing you. That the most powerful weapon of the shaitan is to create doubt. And what does doubt mean? Doubt means that this is your mental state of uncertainty. Your mental state of uncertainty. Uncertainty. Now you don't know. Do I do this or do I do that? Do I do this or do I? Uncertainty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the first line of Suratul Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The first thing you need to tune your mind with, when your mobile phone is not working or you are not catching the reception, they will tell you, you know what, go to your settings, reset your connections or switch the mobile phone off and switch it on and then close your router or switch your router off. And people do all sorts of things just to get that that connection. And sometimes it works, a lot of the times it works. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, as a believer from the beginning, let us work with your brain, let us work with your mind. And the most powerful weapon of shaitan is doubt. What is it? Doubt. Why? This why is also the weapon of... You only say why when you don't trust someone. You don't trust someone. Your dad is saying something to you, your mother is saying something to you. Why? Why? Never say why. Subhanallah. We are people who follow instructions. Especially, alhamdulillah, who are very, very close to us. And when it comes to your deen, there is no such thing as why. So anyway, khair, Allahu Akbar. Can you put me back? Where was I? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. So the first thing the Quran is saying, you are not to doubt. Not to doubt anything that is in the Quran. And la rayba fihi is not just doubting the Quran. La rayba fihi covers Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in the Quran Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. My Nabi does not speak from his own impulse. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. Whatever he is saying is words that Allah is putting in his mouth, and it is a form of revelation. So hadith is revelation also. What is it? Hadith is a form of revelation. So you also do tilawat of the hadith. People also read Bukhari Sharif. People do khatam of Bukhari Sharif. And hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so you are not to doubt. So the first thing that you need to understand, that the word la rayba, your mind should be la rayb. Anything to do with your deen, anything that Allah has said something to you, that this is what you have to believe in, and that is it. No doubt at all, not even at a minuscule level. You know, sometimes when you go to the courts, you will see that sometimes the judge is saying that, you know what, I haven't got concrete proof. The judge hasn't got concrete proof, but now there are no witnesses. There are no witnesses. If there are no witnesses, what is the judge going to do? So in the modern world, what we have, there is a terminology that the judges use, is beyond reasonable doubt. What do they say? Beyond reasonable doubt. So the judge will say to the jury that, look, you know, you've heard of the evidence and everything. Evaluate everything, and if you think it is beyond reasonable doubt that this person is guilty or this person is not guilty, that is the decision we will take. So the Quran is saying there is no such thing as beyond reasonable doubt. There is no doubt. Everything about the Quran, everything what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, it is haq. Now, when you have understood la raib, look at the Quran, how it is working with you, huh? How it is working with you. Ajeeb the kalam of Allah. And especially in the modern world, in this world that we are living in, only if we do mutala and study the first three lines of the Quran. The first three lines of the Quran, it is enough. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you haven't got doubt. La rayba fihi. Then Allah is saying, hudan lil muttaqin. Hudan lil muttaqin. This kitab will give guidance. He didn't say to the Muslims. He didn't say to the mu'min. But what did he say? To those who have the fear of Allah. Those who are Allah conscious. The Quran really works. The Quran will have this great impact when you have taqwa. What is it? When you understand that my Allah is always watching me. That is the time you will see immediately the Quran will have an effect on you. But he didn't say Muslims. Why? Because you will find so many Muslims, they have the kalima. They don't even read namaz. They don't even understand the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they've got iman. But alhamdulillah, that is also a ni'mah. But when they are reading the Quran, that the burners are not enough. The injections are not there to revive you. What is it? The injections are not there to revive you. It is that quality. Subhanallah. You see, when you're... what is not working? Ye apne ghar mein gas ka hota hai na ye? Boiler. So there is a flame that is there. That person will know who comes to see that what is the problem with this boiler. And if there is just nothing there, no gas, how is it going to burn? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, first of all, create this realization that my Allah is watching me also all the time. Create that fear. If a person has got no fear, then he will not stop sinning. He will do all the sins. But let us quickly also pass this ayat-e-kareema. It's the next ayat which is also very important. The Quran says, you are not to doubt. You are not to doubt on my Nabi, whatever he has said. And then the first level, Allah Pak is saying, your iman should be on what? Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb. So many people today are atheists. What are they? Atheists. Why are they atheists? And atheists are the most, what are they? Huh?
Dumb.
Who said dumb? Faisal, you. Faisal, man, you're sitting there giving the top answers, man. They are the most dumb. What are they? The dumbest people, foolish people are who? Atheists. Dumbest people. If there is someone who does not know 1 plus 1, and you have an atheist, right? That atheist is more foolish. Can you imagine? He doesn't know who his creator is. What a fool he is. Now, in the modern world, there is one disease that is called why. What is it called?
Why.
Everything is why. And another disease of the modern world, in this modernity that we are living in, I believe only what I see. What do they say? I believe only what I see. So the Quran has taken the sword out and hacked you first. That the first level of iman is to believe in the unseen. Allah is saying, I have created this dunya in such a way that it is divided into two categories. One is visible and one is invisible. And you have to bring Iman upon both, the visible and the invisible. But materialistic minded people, people sometimes who study too much, they also go a bit like that, in that direction. And they have this disease, what I see is what I believe. So, have you seen gravity? Have you seen gravity? Are you denying gravity? You can't deny gravity. Gravity to hai na? Yeah. Upar niche, upar phenko niche aa jata hai. Gravity. You haven't seen gravity. Have you seen your roof? Have you seen the oxygen that you are breathing? Have you seen your own brain? Have you seen your brain? No. And if I say, oh, I can't see your brain, brainless. Ganda hai tu to. I am determined you're gando. Why? I can't see your brain. You can't do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for you to survive in the modern world, make sure you don't carry and catch this disease. I will only believe what I will see. Because the first things the Nabi and Anbiya are going to tell you is about the things that are invisible. Then your Wi-Fi connection will not be there. Then your heart and your mind cannot connect with Iman. Why? Because your Iman bil Ghaib is not there. What is not there? Iman. So Iman bil Ghaib is so important, so important. Can you imagine? Subhanallah, how Allah is protecting us. That is why Quran makes you intelligent. What does Quran make you do? The more Quran you have, the more intelligent you are. You know, when I was doing Hifz, a friend of mine said to me, let's go to Darul Ulum. I says, no, bhai, Darul Ulum. I've heard in the 80s, they beat you up. What do? Beat you up. And the notorious Qari Saab that was there. You understand? Notorious Qari Saab. Bichara Allah give him Jannat. Jannatul Firdaus, a great man. Khub mara peeta, logo ko bahut mara. He used to, mashallah, in those days there was no such thing as abuse. One way. System. And anyway, what happened? I says, no, not going to Darul Ulum. I still remember a good friend of mine, he said to me one word. He said, you know, imagine to become the barrister of the Quran. What is it? The words he said. The barrister of the, that you are the master of the Quran. We are Hafiz and we just know how to read the Quran, but we really don't know the Quran, do we? Now, can you imagine if we know all the Quran, the tafsir, and that just hit me in the... I said, subhanallah, yaar. Bilkul, yaar, ye baat to zabardast hai. Kya hai? And wallahi, my respected brothers and elders, the most intelligent person on the face of this earth are your ulama. What are they? Your ulama. People, masters, imam, all of these scholars, when they talk to you, they'll scan you up to down because of, subhanallah, whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, the Quran, ayats are related. Look at the Quran, it's telling you, the first step to your iman is what? Bring iman on ghaib, invisible things. So that is why, part of iman is, that you believe in Jannat. Have you seen Jannat? People reject Jannat. Modernists don't believe in Jannah. Why? What do they say? Ji? I can't see Jannah. Wah, mashallah. You can't see Jannah. And they don't believe in Jahannam. Why? Because they can't. And then they say that Allah is saying, believe in all the prophets of the past. Have we seen the prophets of the past? Allah is saying, believe in the Malaika. Have we seen Malaika? Do you see the angels? No. Have you seen the Quran revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. So this sickness that is out there, you know, I spoke to someone who was of a Hindu background. So I said to him that why would an intelligent person like yourself want to worship a stone? Now I'm just saying this because I had my dialogue with him. I'm not trying to disrespect the Hindu community. Not at all. You are free to worship whatever you want. I am speaking to my audience. And you know, we live in a free world, alhamdulillah, where we can talk about things. So I said to him that, why is it that you want to, you are such an intelligent man and you worship a stone. So you know what he said to me? He says, no, you see, it's easy to think of God when you can see God. What is it? It's easy to think of God when you have something that is like a substitute to God. So we make this stone an idol, but in reality we are not taking the stone as God, we are taking the Supreme One as God, but we are worshipping Him. Ab kaisi ullu wali, pagal wali baat. What kind of nonsense is this? So this disease that is there, I will only believe what I am going to see. Allah is putting this down, this understanding. Not at all. That is why there is no why when your Nabi is telling you something. There is no why. And if you want Iman, Iman, a Muslim means that you surrender and submit to the will of Allah. And Allah is doing the operation of your thinking, that the book starts with the words La Raiba Fihi. What does La Raib mean? There is no doubt. Your professor can be teaching you the wrong things. Your teachers can be teaching you the wrong things. They taught me the wrong thing. They taught me the wrong thing. They said that we, our human beings were monkeys. What were they? Human beings were? Imagine if during my time in school they were teaching us that we were monkeys. It is, did they teach you that? Are you sure? Did they teach you that? Did they teach you that the first man was Adam alayhi salam? They don't teach you that. So anything that contradicts your deen, anything that is there, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the ulama have mentioned there are seven levels of following the sunnah, and the most important level of sunnah is that ulul azam. You must have a lot of azam and yaqeen, complete yaqeen. More yakin than to know that this woman is my mother and this father, this person is my father. That can be doubtful, but what your Nabi is saying, you will never ever doubt. That is why, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a system that everything is recorded. All the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are recorded in the form of a hadith that you are not to doubt. If you doubt the hadith, you are doubting the Quran. And if you doubt the Quran, you are also doubting Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this thing is very important, my respected brothers. So when we go home, we should do ta'aleem and teach our family members that we are living in a time of great confusion. So make sure by your YouTube, by the films that people are watching, by the documentaries, by your, you know, all these social media platforms you are visiting. I was reading an article that most of the girls that want to commit suicide is because of Instagram. Kiske liye? Instagram. There are so many girls that are committing suicide because of Instagram. Can you imagine? Because of these apps, now in this modern world, subhanallah, you will see that the suicide rates, it's getting lower. Younger people are committing suicide now. Younger people are committing suicide. Because of that intense pressure that is there. Great confusion. And so to save your sanity and to save yourself from becoming majnoon, we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give you jazai khair for taking out the time and sitting and listening, inshallah. These are a few points that we have covered as part of the seerah. Alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal. We will continue. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.